Bibles. Let's see, you can turn to see where I want to start tonight. Well, let's start over in 2 Timothy, seems like a good place to go. You know, the Bible says, well, we just sang there's power in the name of Jesus. And I don't know why I'm about to say this, but just came up in my spirit as we were singing this. Someone needs to hear this tonight, that Jesus said this. He said, in me you'll have peace. In me, you'll have peace. Amen? Amen. You know, I for years, looked to other things. You know, my testimony, I had the incident, you know, with the gun and everything with some young ears in here, so careful how I say it. But just that incident, you know, or almost ended my life and had that visitation with the Lord, you know, or really put eternity before me. But I didn't know how to really come to Jesus. So for 5 years, still felt the same way, depressed and anxious for all those stuff, you know. And so I tried to fill my life up with everything. Man, I tried it all, you know, and nothing worked, but Jesus filled me and peace came. Amen. And, you know, no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, life will always be hard and life will always be a struggle. And life will never be its fullest until you just turn to Him. And that doesn't just mean giving your heart to Jesus, because a lot of people have given their heart to Jesus. And their lives are still a mess, their minds are still a mess, their bodies are still a mess, their finances are still a mess, their relationships are still a mess. When he says in me, he's talking in the Word as well. You know, in him you find the peace of eternity and eternal life, but you can have eternal life and have hell on earth. Right. Heaven waiting for you in eternity, but have hell on earth. But see, he wants you to have heaven on earth and peace on the earth. Amen? And so when it says in me, that means doing it his way. And so I just encourage you, do it his way. Amen? That's where the peace lies. Praise God. Don't fight it. Just do it. But I know we're speaking to a good crowd here tonight, but someone needed to hear that. He's your answer. He's your answer. So 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, Father, we love you tonight. We're just so grateful. Father, help me to say what needs to be said tonight. Lord, this is just following my heart here tonight, what to share. But Lord, I need utterance. I need you to help me with what to say and how to say it. Lord, I thank you for illustrations, examples, Father. And I just thank you bullseyes will be hit in people's heart. It'll help us keep us safe here tonight and go forward in safety and revelation and wisdom, Father, and what you want said and what you want done. And so, Lord, we put this service in your hands. Lord, I think about the other day when I cut down that branch off that tree in my yard that was kind of in my way when I would mow. And I thought, man, you know, that tree was full of life. That branch was full of life. And now it's apart from you. And it's going to lay in the woods. It's going to wither up and die. So, Father, we know that our life is in you. So help us. We're just branches, Father. But in you, we can do all things. So, Lord, we say you're our source. You're our help. So help us tonight to say the right things, do the right things. And, Father, we just come expecting, come hungry tonight. And, Lord, if our bodies and our minds are trying to tell us we'd rather be somewhere else, well, we don't go by our bodies or minds. Our spirits are hungry and ready. And so we say by faith we're here to receive tonight. So, Lord, say and do what you want to say and do what you want to do. And so, Lord, we love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, if you can rightly divide the word of truth, you can wrongly divide the word of truth. You know, the Bible says that there's a right way to divide the word of truth, to look at the word of truth, to understand the word of truth. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 33. This will be a little bit different service tonight, but you know, we've been having a little bit different services lately, especially Sunday, you know, just try to, you know, the Bible talks about Timothy, Paul told Timothy that he ought to teach people how to behave in church. As we said, you know, that there's order, there's a setup, you know, how God does things. And people say, well, how do we know what it is? Well, it's in his word, you know, honor and order and not chaos and just everybody doing their own thing. You know, it's God's an orderly God. And so we're looking at some of those things, trying to get the house of God in order and just people's thinking right and things. But in 1 Corinthians 14, 33, it says this, God's not the author of confusion, but of peace as in all the churches of the saints. So if God's not the author of confusion, well, who's the author of the Bible? God's the author of the Bible. So when people start confusing the Bible and you hear things like, well, that could mean that, and that could mean that, and one person could say it that way, another person could say it that way, and well, that's man doing that. That was not God's intention. You know, that's really how a lot of denominations started. right? I mean, someone believes something different, they start a different denomination, don't believe what that denomination just spreads, you know, that's how church splits happen, that's how, you know, people get into weird things, you know. Well, cults and weird thinking and splits and people get upset at the word. Well, that was not God's intention. The Bible is not the author of the confusion. Man is the author of the confusion. It's important to know that because you hear things, even from well-meaning intended Christians, they'll say things like, well, but one preacher can say it that way, and then another preacher could take that verse and make it sound something different. Well, that's true, that can happen, but that wasn't God's intention. God has a word of truth, and he says it's our job to rightly divide that word of truth. And, you know, there's ways to do that. You know, you look in context. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. You know, around here we put up lots of scriptures. Why? Because you can't just take one scripture and prove a doctrine out of it. You gotta rightly divide the word. But now go with me to 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1. So God says he wants us to rightly divide the word. He says, I'm not the author of confusion. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1, but we're going to see who is the author of confusion here. Man is, in a sense, but the devil works through men. And it says this in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1. It says, now the Spirit speaks expressly, in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to just walk away from God. That doesn't mean that. But walk away from what they know, walk away from how they've done it, walk away from what they once believed, you know. How? Giving heed to seducing spirits. But my point is this. It's talking about seducing spirits, that the devil is a, you know, and that means to pay attention, to give heed, to pay attention, to pay mind to. Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Well, a doctrine of a devil is just the opposite of the word of God. Anything that's the opposite of the word is a doctrine of the devil. And people start paying attention to some of these things through whatever, you know, other Christians, family members, friends, things they hear on TV, things they read on the internet, different things like that. And it causes a lot of confusion at times for people. And you wouldn't believe in the 7 years that I have heard some of the things that people who once were grounded in things, well, you know, I'll use that example that couple years ago that... you know, I told you, testified in the middle of service how that when they started coming to the church, they obeyed God. And they learned things that caused them to walk into prosperity and blessing beyond what they known, to the point where when it was prophesied over them that more money was coming, they were so excited about it, you know, just couldn't believe that. They thought that was hilarious and it came to pass. And then all of a sudden, one day, getting a phone call, saying, I mean, they threw everybody under the bus. They threw me under the bus, Pastor Tim, Brother Hagin, Dr. Dufresne, Pastor Michael, Dr. Webb, I mean, Reverend Randy Greer. I mean, they went down through the list. Lester Summerall, we don't believe this teaching anymore. And I thought, man, you know, that's crazy. You testified in service that this teaching is what got you there, you know. And I've heard that before, you know, where people walk into blessings or, you know, I've said it, you know, people hug you and love you. And then all of a sudden something got in. Well, it's the devil, you know, you hear things, the devil talks to people. And then people start doubting the church, start doubting the preacher. Well, the thing that will keep us safe from all this stuff is the Bible. Amen? You know why people get into cults is because people just blindly follow. You know, we're not looking for baby. What's a baby bird, right? A baby bird just will take anything. They'll just, their mouths are open, drop anything in. Well, we shouldn't as Christians be baby birds. You know, you should not just blindly come in here and just blindly follow me. And just take whatever I say and just, well, that's just what Pastor Mike says. No, if Pastor Mike's not backing it up in the Word, you ought not receive that. Amen? That's how cults and weird things get started. But the Word is not meant to confuse you. The Word is not meant to mean different things to different people. God meant what He said and said what He meant. Amen? Well, how do we safeguard that? We rightly divide the Word by looking at some things. So tonight, I want to take some time because... I don't know, there seems to be a lot of activity just with I'm in both churches, you know, just people and different things going on. It's like, you know, with Brother Hagin was an example of Jesus. When Jesus was doubted or things were off, you know what he did? The Bible says he just went about and kept teaching the Word because the Word irons these things out. Well, same with Brother Hagin. When a wrong doctrine would arise in the body of Christ, being at the level that he was and the influence that he had over thousands and thousands of churches and ministers, not that he was over them to say what to do, but spiritually covering, you know, just blessing them, and they called him dad and things like that. When a wrong doctrine would sweep through the body of Christ, Brother Hagin would, when he'd have Winter Bible Seminar or he'd have camp meeting, he would touch on a lot of these things and just correct it through teaching the Word. Amen? And I'll tell you what, as a shepherd, the devil's very active and the devil's very loud. Well, why can't the voice of truth be very active and very loud too? Because sometimes people hear things and they see things, and if you're not grounded in the Word and you don't know, you could think, well, my goodness, what's going on? What's right? What's wrong? Well, stick with the Bible. That's what's always right. Amen? So I want to deal with tonight, it's a little different message, but I want to deal with tonight of some things in our camp. And what I mean by our camp, remember when the disciples, when they got released, they said they went back to their own company. What I mean by our camp is our group of people that we run with. Amen? You know, the Word of Faith camp, and I'm going to address some of the things on the Word of Faith camp because some people have gotten into excess on that, and there's been wrong people involved with that camp as well. But I'm talking about like Brother Hagin and the Dufresnes and Reverend Randy Greer and Pastor Webb, Pastor Michael, your pastor. Like that's the camp we run with, right? We believe in the move of the Holy Ghost, and we believe in the Word of God. And so I want to talk about some things that tonight, some things that maybe we get criticized for, or people take the wrong way, and they say, well, you're associated with that, I don't want to deal with that anymore. And just look at what the Bible says about these things, look at what the balance is, and look at what the truth is, and then look at some of the errors and excess. Because remember, any time that God means for something good, the devil will twist it for bad. He just will. He'll you know, God has well meaning for the prosperity message, but the devil can twist that for bad. Excess or not at all. I mean, either way, you know, the devil, he lies in the ditch. God stays in the middle of the road. And so we want to make sure I have to get over there. So let's look at some things tonight. A little different message, but just help to keep you safe going forward. Because, you know, the devil would love to separate people from their supply. The Bible says, they that are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of our God. But we know this now. We know that doesn't mean the act of walking into a church and planting. Because it's not the act of walking into a church. Listen, I got lots of friends and family members who are not flourishing, yet they're planted in a church. I'm sure you all do as well, right? You have people you know that they're faithful to go. I mean, they won't miss. And yet you don't see any victory. You don't see any power really in their life. And so we know it's about being right associations. And God connects you to places. And God connects you to the right place and the right person. And so we want to deal with some of these thoughts because, man, the devil talks to people. The devil talks to people, so we're going to talk to people. Praise God. So the first thing I want to deal with is go to Romans chapter 10 and verse 8. What in the world is this whole thing called the Word of Faith movement? Because if someone were to say, if they were to really nail me down, what kind of church this is, you know, I always just say we're a Bible church. But I guess if anybody were to say what kind of church is, well, we're a Word of Faith church. But see, when you say that, there comes a whole lot of different ideas and things. Why? Because there have been people in the Word of Faith camp that have gotten way off, taken the Word and twisted what it was meant to be for something for their own manipulation, for their own gain, misled people. And so therefore, people want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. You know, if I go into a local store and I have an experience with a bad employee, that doesn't mean that the owner's bad. That doesn't mean that the store in itself, though, as a whole, is bad. Just because there's been some Christians and leaders in the body of Christ that have gotten off doesn't mean that the message is bad or that the Bible's changed. There's just some people that have gotten off in some things. That's why we stick with the Bible. Praise God. So what is the Word of Faith? The Word of Faith. So Romans 10 and verse 8. Now, again, we're just going to talk about balance here tonight to help us in our thinking. But what saith it? The Word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart, that is the Word of Faith which we preach. Now then he goes on in verse 9 and he explains what that Word of Faith is, which he told us where it's at. It's in your heart and in your mouth. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. So verse 9 is talking about the promise of salvation. And he's telling us how to receive the promise of salvation. Well, the promise of salvation comes through the Word of Faith, which is what? It's in your heart and in your mouth. That is what we preach. So what the Word of Faith really should be, no matter what the internet says, no matter what someone that criticizes the message says, no matter what anybody says, the Word of Faith in the Bible and what this church is going to preach is the Word of God being in your heart and in your mouth to confess for the promises. Amen? Amen. And so, like salvation, he says the word comes into your heart, and then you confess to receive the promise. Isn't that how you all receive Jesus? Somebody told you about him. You learned about him. Well, that faith grew into your heart. But the Bible said you had to confess. You had to call on the name of the Lord. Well, that works the same way for any promise of God. Hallelujah. It works the same way that we find what God has said. We get faith in our heart. And then we confess for it. Now go with me. Let's see here. Let's go to verse 10. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness. And so you got to have the heart and the mouth. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, which salvation is the promise. You could say with the heart man will believe unto healing is his or hers. With the heart man believes for their needs to be met and prosperity or protection for their family or for the kids to turn around. Whatever promise you can find in the Bible. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, there's promises in the Word. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 20 says, all the promises of God are yes and amen. Doesn't it say that? Plural. Now, the church I came up in, they only had one promise, which is salvation. Now, they had the best one, but that's all they talked about. Well, we know that all the promises of God, but then over there in Hebrews 6 and verse 12, it says the promises of God are received by faith and patience. So we see that the promises of God, including salvation, don't just automatically fall into our lap. We have to have faith for them, and the word of faith is our avenue, or it's our instruction of how to walk into these promises. Just like salvation was offered to you, but you didn't get it until you went through the word of faith. What is that? You found a word on it, and then you used your faith, which is in your heart and in your mouth, and you spoke and you received it. It's the same way with healing. It's the same way with prosperity. So why are you telling me this? Well, before I tell you why I'm telling you this, go to 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13. The devil will talk to people. Man, I'll tell you, the devil will talk to people. It says, we, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and speak. So first you believe with your heart, then you speak for the promise. Remember, confession is made unto salvation. Now, here's why I'm talking about this. That right there, ladies and gentlemen, for eternity, until I go home to be with Jesus and I'm not pastor of this church anymore, or until Jesus comes and takes me before that happens, this church's stance on the word of faith is simply finding a promise of what God has said, getting the faith in your heart, and then confessing for it, okay? Because the word of faith movement gets criticized a lot, and sometimes rightfully so, because you have people that have totally taken it and run in opposite directions with it. And then when the devil gets involved, man, it gets loud and the thing just blows up. Well, let me tell you some errors on the word of faith that people have gotten into excess for. Some of the main excess error that really drives people crazy is that you can confess and receive anything you want. That's just not biblical. You cannot confess. I can confess all I want tonight that a Lamborghini will be in my driveway when I wake up tomorrow, and it's not going to happen. Why? The word of faith has to have two things in place for it to work. I want to see what those two things are in place. Number one, go to Mark chapter 11 and verse 23. Mark chapter 11 and verse 23. What are we trying to do? Keep you balanced. When I get word that people that maybe are disgruntled or unhappy are criticizing this church for being a word of faith church, what has Pastor Mike's stance been on the word of faith? It's been nothing but balance right down the middle of the road. And I'm not bragging on me. That's bragging on the word. I'm not trying to be in some ditch about it. Mark 11, 23, for the word of faith to work, there has to be two things in play. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith. Number one, for the word of faith to work, you have to actually believe what you're saying. When I say, well, the word of faith extremes is, this is what they say. Those people say you can just say what and have whatever you want. That's not what I preach. You got to believe what you're saying. I can say all night long till the sun comes up, Lamborghini be out there, Lamborghini be out there. I don't believe that. Right. Well, that's part of faith. You'll have what you say. No, you'll have what you believe you'll say. Not just what you say. You'll have what you believe what you say. But that's not the only thing that needs to be in place. There's a second thing that needs to be in place. Go to 1 John 5 and verse 14. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. Because you can read things, you can hear things, you can talk to people. And they can criticize this because people have gotten into error. People have gotten into excess. But if you're part of this church, we're preaching the word of faith based on the Bible. Not based on some hocus pocus wish type thing and just appear magically. No, there's got to be two things. You've got to believe what you're saying. But 1 John 5 and verse 14 says, this is the confidence that we have in Him. Well, when we say and expect our words to manifest things in the natural, who are we really expecting behind the scenes to cause them to manifest? I'm expecting God to do it. It's not my power that brings it to pass. God needs my faith, but it's His power that brings it to pass. So I need some confidence in Him. That if we ask or say anything according to His will, He hears us. And we know if He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know we have the petitions we desired Him. So for the word of faith to work, this is why salvation worked. Number one, it's God's will that you be saved. Number two, you believed it when you spoke it. Well, I could say all day, I want a Lamborghini in my driveway tomorrow morning when I wake up. Well, number one, I don't believe that. Number two, that ain't His will. Right. Say, well, you mean it's not His will for me to ever have a Lamborghini? Not until He tells me. I can, now, if I don't have a vehicle, I can believe God for a vehicle. I can believe God for a vehicle. I can believe God for a nice vehicle according to the word, right? But I can't just sit there and say, well, God's will for me to have a Lamborghini. Well, if I get a green light in my heart and He says, yeah, you can believe for a Lamborghini. Well, then I can believe for a Lamborghini. Let me give you an example. It's like this, when we got our house, you know, we can believe God for a house to meet all our needs. But when I was driving by that house that we lived in, there was someone else living in that house. If I see that house and say, man, you know what? I like that. I want to live in that house. Just because I want that house, I'm going to confess that house till it's mine. You can't do that. It's kind of like a single lady walking down the road and seeing a cute guy or vice versa saying, I'm going to confess them to be my husband or my wife. I'm going to have what I say. Well, no. There's other people's wills involved. Now, listen to this. If you're in a church setting or, you know, you met somebody and the Lord said to you, hey, that's your spouse, you can put your faith on that. Just like that house that I saw, I had an inkling in my heart to check it out. Walked in the house, and the Spirit of God said to me, this is your home. Well, I had already had my faith on a home, but now He gave me a specific one. So now even though someone else lives in it, and even though I can't afford it, I can confess that's mine because I have a word on it. The word of faith is only based and has any foundation if God's word holds it up. Amen? You can't just confess anything you want. You can't just up and say, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Well, what if the will of God is not for that? You're going to be standing alone and on your own. And that's what the criticism comes from. They're just that word of faith, that name it and claim it camp. Name what you want and just claim it. Yeah, if it's biblical, if it's a promise from heaven or a word in your heart, you're absolutely right. You claim that thing is yours and then you confess, that's how you get it. But not if it's not His word, amen? Do you see the difference between the ditch and the middle of the road on that? And you wouldn't believe how people get off in this stuff. And then it just spreads like wildfire. And people start saying, that word of faith, I looked up online, and this, they're that. And I'll tell you what, remember this, the internet trolls out there, they're not motivated by God. They don't have any scriptures. They don't have any verses. A lot of times, let's just be honest, a lot of times, the people that are standing at the forefront, let's just use two of the ones that we follow, Brother Hagin and Pastor Nancy Dufresne. Both of them came from a place where they didn't have anything, but through the Bible and through the word of faith, obtain things the same way I did, praise God, the same way I got my needs met when I was $2,000 short and paid off $60,000, wasn't based on a church salary, wasn't based on the giving of the people. It was based solely on the word of faith. That I had a word and I confessed it and got it. So let's look at two people like Brother Hagin and Pastor Nancy. They walk into extreme wealth, and people, let's face it, a lot of times in the body of Christ and not in the body of Christ have trouble with ministers having money, having stuff. And so then they say, oh, that name it and claim it, that name it and claim it. That's, they're just confessing for their own stuff. Well, you never heard Brother Hagin be selfish in his confessions. Can I show you a scripture that'll help you? Go to Mark chapter 10 and verse 29. This will help you. Because we've been talking about, and when we talked about honor financially, if you're going to follow someone that's faithful in the word, you're going to see them increase. Just like when you're faithful, you increase. And I get to watch that, praise God, and I get excited about it. You know, when I hear you get a new job or a new car or a new house or a blessing, I don't go home mad. I go home shouting and rejoicing. I'm pumped for them. Praise God. I hear you're going on a vacation. Praise God. I get excited for you. And you ought to do the same for me. Praise God. Well, look at what the Bible says here in Mark chapter 10 and verse 29. We'll go to verse 28 first. Verse 28, Peter said unto him, Lord, we've left all and followed you. What did he say? We gave up our life for you, Peter. Well, look what Jesus' response was. Because I'm going to tell you this. A man like Brother Hagin, a man like, woman like Pastor Nancy, woman like Pastor Nancy, Dr. Frayne, they gave up everything to follow the Lord. They did whatever he said, not saying they were perfect, but my goodness, their bags are always back. They did things, went places, and sacrificed for the kingdom of God. I mean, the Bible says I'm to be an example. I gave up everything to start a church in South Dayton. I did. Hallelujah. And I know you've made your sacrifices too. I'm not saying you haven't. But look what Jesus said to the one that Peter said, Lord, we've left all and followed you. He said, verily I say unto you, there's no man that's left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife. Talking about, you know, going out, not leaving them and forsaking them. But when you're a minister and you go out, the family kind of gets put off to the side at times, right? I mean, Brother Hagin was on the road 51 out of 52 weeks of the year to serve the kingdom of God. And just a side note, his wife, I remember the story about her washing dishes. She had a problem with it. She almost lost her life because of it, because the call of God on their life was to do this. She had to get it right. Well, once she got it right, a grace came onto their family. But Brother Hagin's wife almost lost her life. She was complaining about he's gone all the time. He's gone all the time. Well, he's got to obey God. Amen. He's got to obey God. Well, she got that right and repented, praise God. Repented, and then the grace came on him, praise the Lord, and blessed him. And then the kids didn't suffer. The wife didn't suffer. Praise God. Just do it God's way. God doesn't call people to ruin families. And if you have that thought, you're twisted in your thinking. Now, say, well, yeah, but I've seen ministries ruin families before. Yeah, that's because they didn't do it right. That wasn't God's fault. Amen? That wasn't God's fault. But Mark 10:29 says, there's no man that's left house, brother and sisters or mothers or father or wife or children or lands for my sake in the Gospels. But he, verse 30, who's the he? The one that's given it all for the Lord shall receive 100-fold. When? What's the next word? Now. Now. What's now? Now so everybody can see it. Everybody will witness it with their eyes. Not when they get to heaven. Now, look at this. In this time, what did he say now? Look at the next word. Houses. Houses, plural. Well, why they got that extra house? Why they got that big house? Well, the Lord said they should have more than one big house. They should have two big houses if they followed him. I must be slacking because I only got one. I better catch up, praise the Lord. And this time, houses, brethren, sisters, mothers, children, and lands. Two of those things in there are monetary material things that people can see as blessings. And so back to what I was saying is a lot of times these critics of the word of faith, they'll see these people's lives. They'll see the homes they live in. They'll see the cars they drive. And immediately their thought is, oh, they must be skimming money off, or oh, they must be manipulating people with the message to get more money. But yet they don't see this verse that, wait a minute, what if they really gave their life and they really sowed seed like we wouldn't even believe it,
And what if the Bible on this verse is true and harvest is really a true thing? And what if they're so stinking blessed? Maybe they're not schemers. Maybe they're not swindlers. Maybe they're not twisting the word of faith so they can get money out of people's pockets. Right? That's the skeptic mind, but that's what people say. So the people that we follow, the Pastor Nancy's, the Reverend Greer, the Pastor Webb, the Brother Hagin, they all, by the way, followed under him. I heard one minister say this. He said, anytime I ever heard something in the body of Christ, I just ran it through what Brother Hagin taught. People say, well, that's hero worship. No, he's worshiping the message, not the man. Right. Amen. Paul told people, follow me. He said, follow me. Well, he didn't mean, but he wasn't saying him, but he was saying, follow my message. Right. So I'm preaching the word. Amen. Thank God for people that go before us, that lead us. Hallelujah. That show us the way. Considering their example and their behavior and things like that. And so a lot of times people get so down on that type of stuff when the Bible tells you, hey, you give it up for the gospel, things are coming back to you. Just heaven's got to give it up. Amen. And so people say, well, they're swindling. You just have whatever you say, that word of faith. No, from this point forward going on here, anyone ever says, well, that's one of those word of faith. Say, yeah, word of faith based on the word. What God has said, and then how you get it is by confessing it with your mouth. Praise God. The other part of the word of faith that's error in excess is that your words can trump anything. That no matter how you live your life, no matter what you do in your life, you just can say whatever you want and it'll cover it up. No. There's still a holiness doctrine. There's still a faithfulness doctrine. Amen? Well, I'm just going to live wrong and do wrong and just keep confessing for my blessing. No, you got to still do the word. You still got to obey God. Amen? So this point forward, the word of faith is based on Romans 10:8. The word of faith was in your heart and in your mouth. I don't care what the internet says. I don't care what other Christians have said. We're going with the word of faith. I don't care what so-and-so big ministry fell into scandal. So-and-so big ministry fell. It doesn't mean the word of faith is wrong. And anyways, it's not a word of faith movement. The word of faith is a Bible verse. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's remember that, praise God, going forward. That's how we receive our blessings. And I'm telling you, I've had people that benefited, that told me, that texted me. I'm checking things off my confession list, Pastor Mike. I'm checking things off my confession list. Learned that they've come from churches, they come in and they've learned. This is how you acquire and obtain. And they obtain and acquire. And then come back and bash people that are part of the word of faith. Well, they've lumped everybody into one big basket. The ones that have gotten off, the ones that have gotten to the ditch, the ones that have gotten into scandal and error. No, 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 no. What is your pastor preaching? And I'll tell you what, if Pastor Nancy goes a different way, and if Brother Hagin would have gone a different way, and if Reverend Greer goes a different way, I'm not going their way. I'm always sticking with this, praise God. I'm not a baby bird either. I'm not blindly following Pastor Michael, blindly following Pastor Nancy, blindly following Brother Hagin. I follow them because the fruit of their tree is legit. You know a tree by its fruit. They all stick with the word. They all give you 10, 15 scriptures on everything they preach. It's always in there. But if they stray, I'm not going with them. Praise the Lord. And if I stray, don't go with me. Find a different church if I stray. But we're sticking with the Bible. That's number one. Now let's go on to number two. The other ones won't take as long, I don't think. You ever heard of there's a whole thing where people get down on. We've talked about this a little bit with honor in the first message of the honor series about having a shepherd. Well, there was a thing that swept through the world called the shepherding movement. Well, the shepherding movement was getting way off with what the Bible says about what a pastor is to a sheep and what people came up with themselves to manipulate and to kind of boost themselves. And the shepherding movement basically put the shepherd in front of God in their life. Actually, one follower I read of the shepherding movement said when they were in it, their mind was now clear from that if God spoke to them and their shepherd said something different, they'd follow their shepherd. That's wrong. That is wrong. And I'm certainly not preaching that. What is the balance on a shepherd? Well, go to we've looked at these, but real quick, let's go to them because not everyone maybe had been here. Go to Ephesians 4 and verse 11. We're going to look at what the balance is. We've talked about some of this stuff.
Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. It's good to see it over and over. Because there can be an error. People can get into pastoral positions and positions of leadership. And how many of you know, they're not everybody that's in a position of leadership has the right motives or the right heart. But also, everybody that's not in a position of leadership is corrupt either. Amen. Again, you'll know the tree by what? Its fruit. Amen. You'll know the tree by its fruit. That's how you know. Ephesians, you're not stupid. You guys aren't dumb. Amen. You have the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 4 in verse 11 says, He gave apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, the equipping or the furnishing of the saints. So the shepherd's job is to feed you, right? We saw that the shepherd's job is to feed through the feeding of the word. That's how you get furnished and equipped, praise the Lord. Jesus said over there, we won't turn there, but in Matthew 9, remember what Jesus said if you don't have a shepherd. Again, that's keeping it in context. If you don't have a shepherd, your life will be distressed, bewildered, harassed, dejected, scattered, and faint. Now, the error of having a shepherd is this. If you don't have a pastor, or you can't hear from God without your pastor. That's error. That's garbage. You can hear from heaven. You don't need to hear. I'm one way you can hear from heaven. But you can hear from God in your car, in your home, praying, through your personal prayer time, through listening to a message, through listening to someone else preach. You can hear from God. The excess of having a shepherd is that the shepherd is the only way and the only avenue you have to God. That's garbage. But we don't preach that around here. Holy cow. You can't have a relationship with God without your pastor. That's garbage too. Now, if you have a true relationship with God and you don't have a pastor, God's going to tell you, get a pastor. Because God and Jesus are the same. Jesus said you need a shepherd. But you can have a relationship with God without a shepherd. You can go to heaven without a shepherd. I mean, all these things. How about this one? This was one of the parts of the shepherding movement. You have to run everything by your pastor for your own personal life to get approval. That's garbage. You don't have to do that. And nor do I want you to. Amen? You know, it's amazing. I love watching the example of my pastor, because my pastor for me has been so hands off with me pastoring my churches. He sets my salary and he sits on my board and he watches over, you know, and makes sure, you know, when I can go to him. But he doesn't tell me when I need to have services, what kind of children's programs I need to have, if I need to have youth group, what kind of songs I need to do. And he doesn't lord over my life that way. And just saying, well, I don't want to lord over your life. You don't need my approval and all everything in your life. And I got to run this by pastor if I could take a vacation. I got to run this by pastor if I can go out with this person. I got to run this by pastor if I could see this movie. I know it seems ridiculous, but that's part of what that shepherding movement was. That's the excess of it. But we're telling you again, from here on until eternity, until Jesus comes and gets me, we are a church that believes that God put shepherds in our lives to feed us and to help us and to equip us and to be a spiritual covering for us. Amen? Amen. That's it. Hallelujah. You are not to worship me. You are not to follow me. You are an example of like, oh, without Pastor Mike, I can do nothing. No, that's not true. I'm a part of helping you get to where you need to go. But I'm not the whole part. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's go on. What about prosperity? Go to 3 John verse 2. Let's look at the balance of prosperity. So we saw the balance of the word of faith. We saw the balance of pastoring and shepherding. What's the balance on prosperity? Now, so go to 3 John verse 2. Now, with what the Bible says, would it be an error, because people have gotten mad about this, would it be error and excess for me to say, if you don't have a shepherd, you will not be fully equipped in this life? Is that error? No. That's what the Bible says, right? The perfecting of the saints, scattered, dejected. So there is an okay way to say that, but to say I'm the only thing you need in your life, everything's got to come through me, without me you're nothing, that's error and that's a ditch. That's not something you're ever going to hear fall from my lips. 3 John 2, let's look at the balance of prosperity here. Beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health even as thy soul prospers. So the Bible tells us here that God would will that we'd prosper. But what is the biblical? Not the error and excess that maybe some people in the Word of Faith camp have gotten into or the critics say. What is the biblical balanced look at prosperity? You know the Bible defines it, don't you? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. The Bible gives us a definition of prosperity. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. It says, "And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things," that's your needs being met, "may abound or give to every good work." So what's the balance of prosperity? The balance of prosperity is not being a millionaire. To tell people, oh, everyone can be a millionaire, that's not true. That's not the balance of prosperity. The balance of prosperity is that your needs are met and that you'll have enough left over that when a good work arises, you can bless it and give into it. That's prosperity. Amen. But notice, prosperity includes you having your needs met. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, that's what the shouters from the ditch and over there in the critics from the cheap seats, they'll say, oh, that word of faith message is just used to store up for themselves and to get everything for themselves. Listen, what have I preached from day one? Prosperity in the right mindset or the right limelight is first and foremost so we can be a blessing to the kingdom of God. Amen. That's why we should desire prosperity. And I truly believe that the health and wealth doctrine that has been twisted, has been in the ditch, either in the ditch of never talking about it or in the ditch of money's the most important thing and that's all you talk about, if people put it in perspective in the middle of the road, which is God would want His children, number one, to be healthy and wealthy. But not only that, for His kingdom, we are the workers in His kingdom, for us to be wealthy so we can fund His kingdom, because it's not free to have church. It's not free to send missionaries, to write books, and to send people around the world. And so He would want us to be wealthy to fund things and healthy to do the work of God. But if people over here are getting into the error of excess on this stuff, and the people in the cheap seats of the critics are saying, see, that health and wealth gospel, that's just so they can store up for themselves. Well, that might be for some people, but that's not what's coming from here. That's not what Pastor Mike at 213 Pine Street in South Dayton, New York's preaching. I'm preaching prosperity, that God wants your needs met. Boom, I got scripture for that. That God wants you to be a blessing. Boom, I got scripture for that. Hallelujah. That He wants His body healthy and wealthy. That's the prosperity message balanced. I'm not preaching, and I'm not saying that people are saying this, but that's what critics are saying that say about this. And I'll tell you what, the devil will talk to you. Oh, that word of faith message, just so you can store up and just so you can increase your kingdom. Listen, go to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Matthew 6 and verse 33. This is the prosperity gospel that I preach. Not that you have to seek prosperity, but that prosperity seeks you. Amen. Amen. Just like Jesus said this, if you leave everything for the kingdom, prosperity is going to track you down. Isn't that what He said? Houses and lands, plural. For people that seek, well, this is my prosperity doctrine of seeking prosperity. Seek first God and His righteousness, and then things will be added to you. So I don't worry about the stuff. The stuff will find me. The stuff will track me down. The blessings will come, ladies and gentlemen. But the reason, my reason, now you can have whatever you want and you can believe whatever you want, but my heart at the forefront of this ministry as the pastor guiding the ship and steering the ship of this church is that I want to see people walk in prosperity for two reasons. I want to see you taken care of, but I want to see the kingdom go forward. Amen. I know maybe better than anyone in the church, just because of church things, that it's not free. That it does cost money. And you're so thankful when people are faithful. You're so thankful when people actually step up and bless, because you realize offerings and tithes and offerings, that turns into being able to do more. That money turns into souls. Money turns into people and families being helped. It just does. Just today, you know, when I wrote that book, His Goodness, I had somebody at my house. Well, they were spraying, you know, for the spiders and stuff that they do is for Orkin, and he was there, and he started talking. He said, "I heard you're a pastor." I said, "Yeah." I said, "I am." I said, "Do you go to church?" And he said, "No." And he's like, "I used to go to where he said he went." And I said, "Oh, I went to that school. I never went to that church." And then he said he went to a different church. So even if you know where I went to school, he wasn't talking about this church. But I said, "Yeah, I went there until I was third grade," and we started up a conversation, and just started talking, you know, why he was turned off of church, you know, and I said, "Man, I understand it. I was turned off from the body of Christ." I said, my family members themselves turned me off from Jesus, you know, I said, I get it. I understand. Because he was telling me about his past, you know, had some history, you know, his laundry list. Anyone have any laundry lists of their past, you know? And rap sheets. You ever had any rap sheets? And so he was telling me that. He said, man, I went to church. People just judge me, not talk to me anymore about it, you know? And I said, well, man, that ain't what Jesus does. I said, that ain't what Jesus does. Jesus caught a woman in the act of adultery, and he just loved on her. And he told everyone else, he said, if all of you have never sinned, you can throw the first stone at her. He wasn't magnifying her sin of adultery. He magnified sin in itself. But then even magnifying sin in itself and saying all sin is equal, he said, listen, just go and don't do it anymore. I forgive you. I said, that's what true church is. So I got to minister to him a little bit. But that's the same thing, you know. He kind of had that mindset, or he had a couple bad experiences, so the whole thing must be bad. But my point was about the money is I remember, I got boxes of books sitting there. I said, I need to give you a book. I said, I wrote this a few years ago. It'll tell you how good God is. And I just put a little post-it note on there. And I'm going to keep blessing him as he comes to my house. You know, start giving him tips and doing things like that. But I put on the post-it note on there. I said, God's got a great plan for you. If you have any questions, let me know. I said, this book will tell you he loves you. But here's the point. That book doesn't get published and distributed without money from the church. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And just so you know, any penny that's ever come in for it just went right back into the church. Praise God. I don't keep any of that or do anything like that. But my point is, I understand how important finances are. So yeah, I want to see you blessed because you're part of the flock and I love you, but I want the kingdom to be blessed. Man, ladies and gentlemen, we got a work to be done. We got a work to be done. Go talk to the people in this church that have had their lives changed, their families changed, their life changed. They're pretty darn glad we can pay the mortgage on this place. Pretty darn glad we can keep the lights on. Go talk to the sinner over in a foreign country that had a missionary come and tell them about Jesus. They're pretty glad someone funded the bill for that. Amen. Amen. So that's what prosperity is from this church. The balance is that we are seeking prosperity in kingdom-minded business. Amen? Not so we can store up and stock up and that's what we're using our word of faith for so we can pile up for ourselves. No, you just seek God, the stuff will pile up itself. Isn't it amazing how little problem God has with people having money? I can't get off of thinking about Job. How all Job's was taken by the devil, and Job was already the wealthiest in the world, and God restored double to Job because God knew, God said, I don't have a problem with you having stuff and a lot of money, and Job, you've never had a problem with you having a lot of stuff. But see, lots of times people have a problem with having stuff and having money. But if you don't have a problem with it, if it doesn't have your heart, God certainly doesn't have a problem with it. Remember, God is the epitome of prosperity. He lives in prosperity 24/7. Amen. He lives with all his needs met. He lives in luxury. He lives in prosperity. His streets, the homes, I mean, heaven itself, the colors, everything up there is pure prosperity. God doesn't have a problem with prosperity, and neither should we, as long as prosperity doesn't get a hold of us. But let's look at some of the errors real quick on prosperity. Spend money. It's faith to just spend money even when you don't have it. That's called stupidity. God didn't give you faith so you could flush your brain down the toilet. Amen? I hear people all the time. Now let's temper that with balance here. Has there been times that we see over there in 2 Kings chapter 4? Where for a woman to get her needs met, God told her to go into debt. He did. Didn't he say, go borrow. Go borrow vessels from everybody. Go borrow vessels from everybody. Well, she had to return those. She could have damaged those while they were gone. She had to give those back, right? In one way, she was going into debt for that. But here's the thing, though. God said to do it. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, so many times people say, let me give you an example. The one I told for that house, when I committed to the house, I didn't have the money for the house. Well, if God wouldn't have told me what to say, you better believe I'm not going to tell a realtor, we'll take a house I can't afford. Or when we moved into that church building right there, or we went to build this. Well, maybe the money wasn't there, but the Spirit of God said, hey, do it. So then I step out, and then the money comes. But a lot of times people are just stepping out, and there's no word to stand under. And where's the money? It's not coming. But never was the will of God. It all comes back to what's God's will. Yeah.
if the Spirit of God says do this or spend this, or a lot of times people will buy a house or buy a car or buy something because it's faith to do that when they don't have the money, and they're just, well, the money will just come. Yeah, if the Spirit of God gave you the green light. Yeah. Do you see the difference between the ditch and the balance? But that's what the critics say. Oh, just spend, do whatever you want. No, that's stupidity. Another excess, an error on prosperity is that prosperity is a sign of spirituality. No, it's not. If prosperity was a sign of spirituality, then I'll tell you what, Gene Simmons, man, he must be the most spiritual person in the world. I mean, Britney Spears, she must just be, that's who you got to go to for your spirituality right there. I mean, they're wealthy. They're extremely rich. Now, it can be a sign of God's blessing on people's lives and faithfulness, absolutely, because didn't Jesus say, they that are faithful, you're going to see stuff in their life. It can be, but just because somebody's walking in prosperity doesn't mean they're spiritual. Amen? Hallelujah. Anybody can have a certain, not everybody's going to be called to be millionaires. But everybody has a word from heaven that your needs can be met and that you can be a supply. That's balanced prosperity. Amen. Actually, that's the definition of biblical richness right there. Okay, because when you say this to people, because didn't the Bible say that he was made poor so we could be made rich? That's what the Bible said. But people hear that and they think, all that pastor's preaching richness. Well, why aren't people walking around like Donald Trump? Well, that's not the biblical definition of richness. That's not the definition of richness that I give. The definition of richness is all your needs met and enough to give to give into every good work. That's rich biblically. Amen. That's what you can confess and shoot for in this life. Hallelujah. And then we have verses about faithfulness, how it brings more to you. But last but not least, giving. What's the truth on giving? We'll go to Malachi 3 and verse 8. Just trying to set some things straight in this church, because I'm not going to be accused and have people talk to other people and say things and have people get off in their heads. No. Listen, who cares what the outsiders say? What is pastor preaching? What is Pastor Mike's stance? Who cares what the internet says or what so-and-so ministry did? What's your pastor saying? Amen. Praise the Lord. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8 says, will a man rob God? Yeah, you have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed you? Tithes and offerings. Go to verse 10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house. Prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, it shall not be room enough to receive it. So the Bible tells us to tithe. We know Abraham was a tither 400 and some years before this was ever instituted as a law. Jesus talked about tithing in the New Testament. And over there in Hebrews, Melchizedek talked about how they brought tithes to the priest. Well, we bring our tithes to the most high priest now, which is Jesus. Amen? And we see that the tithe goes to the storehouse. But he said, you rob him in tithes and offerings. So let's look at what the biblical balance is on offering. Go to 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7. So we know where the tithe goes. The tithe goes into the storehouse. But 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. Again, we're looking at the balance before we look at the error. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Well, I'm going to purpose, 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7, I'm going to purpose in my heart to just give tithe 5%. No, you're missing the point. Tithing is 10%. It goes to your local church. That's the Bible on tithing. But giving is anything that is above the tithe, which the Bible says you rob God in tithes and offerings. Amen. They're two different things, ladies and gentlemen. A tithe is a tenth part, and it goes to the storehouse to meet the needs of the church, and there's a blessing on that too. But then the offering is anything on top of the tithe. And we see lots of things in the New Testament concerning the offering in our harvest and offering likened to seeds. And so we see that, but look at what the Bible says about it. Every man according as he purposes in his heart. So there's no percentage on the offering, and there's also no dictated place that it needs to go to. There's no set place the offering has to go to. In fact, the offering goes to what your heart says. But also, the other part of balanced prosperity on giving is that we have to be led by the Spirit of God. Because we have precedent in the Bible that God will speak to people at times about certain things to do concerning their giving. Yes. Amen? So if we don't get a word from heaven, well, we know we have a word that says we have to give. We also know we have words that say we want to sow into good ground. And so what we should do then biblically is purpose in our heart an amount to sow into something that's good ground. Is your church good ground? Absolutely. Are there ministries that are good ground? Absolutely. Are there people? Absolutely. But you purpose in your heart where to give. Amen? And if the Spirit of God tells you, give more, then obey the Spirit. That's the Word of God. But where it would be wrong and manipulative, and this is where we get that people get into excess and error, and you see it on TV. People say on TV, have you ever heard on TV, give $700 now, and in 700 days, you'll get the blessing of 700-fold. Yeah. You ever heard stuff like that? That's gimmicks and manipulation concerning prosperity and giving, right? And hey, or if you hear Pastor Mike, this would be. What have I done with this building fund or this parking lot fund? What have I said? Bring it before God. I didn't tell you, hey, every family needs to do this, and every person in the church ought to do this. But I didn't say that. All I said was bring it before God. If you bring it before God, that parking lot will get paid for. Amen. It's just the truth because God's going to talk to people. That's balance. But if I say, hey, God told me that every single one of you are to give this amount of money. Oh, that's error. And that's using my influence to say, you have the Holy Ghost. You can hear from heaven on your own. Amen? That's why we say, bring it before God. That's balance and safety. Amen? So watch out for gimmicks. When it comes to the offering and giving, and remember this, here's another error, that you should always give everything you have and give so sacrificially all the time that it hurts. No, there is wisdom. The Bible says consider the ant. Yeah. Consider the ant over there in Proverbs. Says consider the ant. And what it talks about is that the ant stores up. It's wisdom to save. It's not wisdom to give everything you have all the time. God knows you have to pay bills. God knows you. It's wise to save, right? We ought to. This is what you ought to shoot for. You ought to shoot to tithe. You ought to shoot to give. You ought to shoot to save and then live off the rest. That's really what you should really shoot for, amen? So I'm not in that position. Well, work to get in that position. Tithing's biblical, giving's biblical, saving's biblical. And then live off the rest. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's balanced prosperity. Not, hey, you got to give this certain amount of money. And if I'm up here every message talking about giving and that you got to sacrifice, and run for the door, man. But we barely preach on money around here. It might come up every once in a while, but we don't preach series on it and keep hammering you over the head with, you got to give, you got to give, you got to give, you got to give. In fact, I'll tell you the truth. One of the reasons the Spirit of God had me bring it before the church to do the parking lot was one of the things that he ministered to me when I pray was that people give people a reason to get excited and get behind something. Amen. Because what it's going to do, when I announce the total, because a lot of people, man, it was like you punched them in the gut when you said 31,500. If you got punched in the gut when I said 31,500, you need a bigger view of who your God is. You need a bigger view of prosperity because $31,500 makes God giggle. Yeah. Oh, is that all you need? Come on. I remember one person said to me, I got half $1 million. This is how they said, I got half $1 million in student loans. I said, what's your point? That's what I said. No, I said, what's your point? Why are you worried? 500 grand ain't nothing to God. That's nothing to him. Put your faith in him. It'll come. Praise God. But if you got punched in the gut, you need to expand your horizons on prosperity. But because people were punched in the gut, and listen, I'm not putting people down that were that way. We all have to grow. There was a time that if I thought, man, the church needed something done for $31,500, it would have punched me in the gut too. But I've expanded. I've grown. Amen? But the Lord said it'll give people something to get behind because when we announce what came in, people are going to, wow. God does provide. Yeah. Wow, how did all that money come in a little church? How did excess come in such a small church? Yeah. And it'll build your own personal faith. Because if God did it for here, he'll do it for you. Amen. Amen. He wants to take care of your house as much as he wants to take care of his house. Amen? Hallelujah. So remember these things. And just remember this, ladies and gentlemen. An offended person, okay, is not somebody you should lend an ear to. Amen? An offended person that's upset and starts spewing stuff, that should be a red flag to you. But why I'm preaching this? Because if you're around that and hear that stuff, bring it back to the Bible. What's Pastor Mike say about that? What's he preach about that? Yeah, I know that's what they're saying and that's what people have done before, but what's he saying? He's not saying that. He's not doing that. Amen? You'll stay safe with the Word of God. And if you ever have any questions, you know how to text me, you know how to call me, you know how to get a hold of me, and we'll just always open this up and say, this is what the Bible says. Amen? And you can close your Bibles, and let me just say this before we close, because this is important if you're going to be a receiver of the Word. You have to get past how you feel and what you think about the situation. What do I mean? Well, lots of times I'll tell people, this is what the Word said, and they'll say, yeah, but I feel. Yeah, but I think. That's the problem. You're feeling and thinking. The Bible keeps you safe from your feelings and your thoughts. Because we can feel strongly about things and we can think strongly about things, but the Bible says our thoughts are not His, and that our bodies, we need to renew or bring them in sacrifices to God and renew our minds to the Word. Amen? So remember, in some of these things that we preach, it might rub you the wrong way. That doesn't mean it's wrong. It might not sit well with you. Doesn't mean it's wrong. If it's the Bible, you got to conform to it. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Word this evening. Lord, we're so grateful that you're keeping us safe, Father. Lord, we don't want brainwashed zombies walking around here. Father, we do want to be brainwashed by the Word, but that's the only thing we want to be brainwashed by. Not by a pastor, not by a cult, not by an idea, not by a camp, not by a certain movement. No, we want just the Word, Father. We want to be kept safe. And Lord, I say this in front of the people as a desire to express what I always say to you in private. Lord, I want to be so careful to never stray from the Bible. Number one, Lord, my health, my family's blessing depends on it. But Lord, I stand in a position where you said, let not many people be teachers, for they'll receive the stricter judgment or the stricter condemnation. Lord, I know that I have to stand before you someday and give account for everything that I said to people. In this position of authority, in this position of leadership, I have to give an account. And Lord, I don't ever want to be manipulative. I don't ever want to cause people to stumble. I don't want ever want people to just to be led astray for my personal gain. And so, Father, I endeavor to just stick to you and cling to the Word of God. And Father, I pray that that heart would be manifested or evident to the people that I'm just about the Bible. If people don't want to receive it, that's up to them, but that's the direction I'm always going to go. Father, we love you tonight. Can we just praise Him for the Word? Praise Him for safety tonight. Praise Him for the middle of the road. We love you, Lord. We glorify you. We praise you. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. With heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around, if you're here or listening online, ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? When I ask myself that, I know I'm going to heaven. I'm not worried about that last day. Or if Jesus comes, I'm not worried about not going with Him. I know I'm going, and the reason is because I meet the qualifications of what the Bible says. And those qualifications, you know, at times get mixed up, and the water gets muddied by what church people say and what the world thinks. The world thinks it's about going to church, and it's about giving money, and it's about, you know, doing a bunch of religious backflips and jumping through religious hoops. But the Bible says that if you call on Jesus' name, you'll be saved. And in that verse, there's two qualifications. Because if you call on Him, that means you believe in Him. So number one, you got to believe in Jesus. If you can say, Pastor, I don't know I'd go to heaven, but I'll tell you, I do believe in Jesus. I believe He died and rose again. Well, that's the first step. You got to believe in Him. But the second step is you got to call on His name to be saved. And so if you're here, you say, I've never called on the name of Jesus. Listen, it doesn't matter that you just believe in Him. The devil believes in Jesus, but he ain't going to heaven. He's never called on the name of the Lord, though. So it doesn't matter that you say, yeah, I do believe that Jesus existed. I do believe He died on the cross. I do believe He was real. That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that you've gone to church or heard that. What matters is, do you believe it and have you received it? If you received it, you'll call on Him. So with heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around. If you're here tonight, you can say, Pastor, I don't know I'd go to heaven, but I do know I believe in Jesus, and I know I've never called on His name, but I want to do that tonight. We won't embarrass anybody. Eyes are closed, heads are bowed. But would you just raise your hand if you want to receive Christ here tonight? Nobody's looking around. Just put your hand up nice and high. Anybody at all? I see that hand. You can put it down. Anybody at all want to receive Jesus tonight before we close? Don't let this moment pass you by. Anybody at all? Now, if you've already done this, you don't have to do it. But anybody else want to receive the Lord tonight? It's the best decision you can make. You don't have to become a member of this church or give a certain amount of money. Just call on His name. Anybody at all, before we close, just lift your hand high in the air.
Well, Father, we had one hand, and maybe there's more that just people are just, you know, maybe shy, or maybe there's people listening that they weren't able to show that their hand was raised, but they want to be included in this. So if you raised your hand, or if you know you should have, or if you're listening and you want to be a part of this, well, the next step we do is just ask the Lord into your life, just to confess Him and ask Him into your heart. You won't have to do that on your own. We're all going to pray together. But if you raised your hand or you know you should have, go ahead and repeat this after me with everybody else in the church. Say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that You died on the cross for my sins. I believe that You rose from the dead. And I ask You to come into my heart. Thank You for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now you're going to heaven, but biblically balanced teaching will tell you, you got to get into a church. Doesn't have to be this one. That would be excess, right? Oh, you got to go to my church. That's wrong. You don't have to go to my church. You have to go where God tells you to go. But you do have to do that. Amen. So, but God will put you in a place that's going to teach you the Bible. So I encourage you, get into Bible teaching church and stay faithful. He'll bless you. Let's just worship and wait on Him for a second. Just to make sure, I want to end with just us worshiping Him and loving on Him. And praising Him. We bless You, Lord. We magnify You and glorify You. We honor and praise You, Lord. We thank You for Your mercy and Your goodness. We thank You for Your mercy and Your goodness. Oh, how we love the Word tonight. We love the Word. We love safety. We love balance, Father. We want to be balanced around here. We know there's a lot of weird things out there. There's a lot of people that have done wrong and have twisted things. But Lord, that doesn't mean we have to go that direction or that we're going that direction. Father, we thank You this is a safe place. We thank You. Now, if the devil's going to brag on things being a wrong place, I'm going to brag on it being a safe place. This is a safe place, Father, because I'm not straying from the Bible. I'm not straying from the Word of God. I thank You, Lord. You bless us, You help us, You love us. Lord, I don't have anything else in my spirit, so I'm going to unplug right there. But we thank You for what we did receive. Thank You for everybody that came out tonight, Lord. I thank You already blessed them, but bless them as they go. In Jesus' name. Amen. We'll see you Sunday morning at 10. You're dismissed.